What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogelmeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, we have a lot to get into today, guys, but first, if you don't already, make sure to go subscribe to us on Apple Music or follow us on Spotify. We really appreciate it, and it keeps the lights on for the podcast. But today, we have a lot more draft stuff to get into. I know it's been a while since we've done some voicemails, so we're going to do voicemails in the second segment today. I'm going to have to sort through all of the voicemails that aren't really applicable now because the draft has happened, and we had to spend so much time last week leading up to it covering it. But I am going to have some very draft-specific voicemails on today's show to get into, so you guys are going to want to hear that. And then in the last segment of the show, we are going to be talking about what positions the Chargers failed to address in the draft and where they go from here now, because there are some pretty big positions, offensive tackle, cornerback exclusively, that the Chargers just didn't draft anyone. So we'll finish up the show with that. But to start, we are going to be getting into the 19 undrafted free agents that the Chargers signed immediately after the draft, because we know the Chargers tradition, one of these guys will probably end up making the team. So we're going to go ahead and start with that. And David, let's go ahead and get into it. The Los Angeles Chargers have a streak of 23 consecutive seasons of having an undrafted free agent make the roster. And immediately after the draft, we found the newest 19 candidates to do so. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. After the draft concluded, Tom Telesco and company were busy on the phones getting in touch with these undrafted free agents, prospects who had their dreams dashed by the NFL draft and had to resort to finding a team that would still let them come into camp and sign them as an undrafted free agent. And for the Chargers, it's a very unique position because so many players from the past have made this team as an undrafted free agent and have made big impacts for the franchise. So when you're looking at who it could be this year, who is the guy that's going to make the active roster, David, you want to look at the positions that the Chargers need help at. And right now you would look at cornerback as being one of those positions, offensive tackle, and many other positions that the Chargers could potentially need help at. So I think that's where you start as far as trying to figure out who it's going to be this season.
Yeah, no, I think the first place that you look at is outside corner. Right now you have Casey Hayward on one side, definitely solidified, feel really good about that. But then you look on the other side and you have Michael Davis, which the Chargers gave a second round tender to, so they believe in him, but he's had a little bit of a shaky start to his NFL career. He definitely has some things that he needs to clean up and change if he wants to really be a complete corner. So there is an opportunity at corner for the Chargers to potentially find an upgrade, and that's why they went and grabbed three undrafted free agent cornerbacks. Because when you look at their depth, you look at names like Tavon Campbell and Brandon Faison, we already saw what he was last year, doesn't exactly breed a lot of confidence. And also, obviously, offensive line. Right now, Trey Pipkins is supposed to be your left tackle. There's a lot of uncertainty at left guard, so you would think that they would bring in some more bodies, but they only signed two undrafted free agent offensive linemen. The first was a tackle by the name of Ryan Roberts out of Florida State, and signed one guard, Joshua Dunlop, out of Texas San Antonio. It doesn't make a lot of sense that they only signed two guys to try to breed some more competition on their offensive line. It makes you believe that they really feel confident with the guys that they have right now.
Absolutely, and I don't think any of us are thinking that that guy would have potentially been the starting left tackle, but you would think at those positions, the problem positions, you would want as much competition there as possible. So looking over the rest of this, there are some other positions like defensive end that could make the roster, or defensive tackle, especially nose tackle, that can make the roster because those are more needs for the Chargers. But the Chargers did bring in two players at fullback that I think could both potentially have a chance to make the Chargers roster. Their former fullback Derek Watt left to the Steelers in free agency, and he was also a special teams all-star for the team. And I think Anthony Lynn wants to have a fullback on the roster when the season opens up because of what we think the offense is going to look like this year with Tyrod Taylor and a young quarterback on the team. So I think that is, strangely enough, a position that is going to be a pretty good competition during training camp.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Lynn has had a fullback for every year that he's been the Chargers head coach. So you think that that's definitely something that he wants to continue to implement in his offense now. And he's already made statements that he's going to go run the pistol a lot more, which is an offense that is familiar and comfortable with the quarterbacks that he has on the roster in Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert. So you know they're going to want to run the ball a lot more, and obviously really good running teams have a good fullback that helps pave the way. Undrafted free agents know that the Chargers is a great destination for them because of that rich history of signing undrafted free agents and them having success in the NFL. Guys like Austin Eckler, Tyrell Williams, Malcolm Floyd, and of course, the future Hall of Fame tight end, Antonio Gates.
Yeah, they have a long list of guys that have come in and made really good impacts for the team. And just knowing the history, we know one of these guys is going to make the roster. Last year, it was Roger Teamer who made the team out of Tulane and ended up getting a decent amount of playing time because of the injury to Derwin James last season. And another interesting thing to think about is the fact that we are going to see some of these really heartwarming stories as HBO's Hard Knocks might be following around these undrafted free agents, because we know there's always a couple every season that get followed around and you're watching them chase their chance to land a roster spot. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And there's one thing that we know for sure is one of these guys is probably going to be on the team when the season opens up week one. But we do have two more segments to get into, and we will dive deeper into this undrafted free agency class later on in the week. We want some time to be able to watch some film on these prospects and give you guys a better breakdown. But first, we just wanted to talk about the positions and the things of note. But we're going to be getting into some fan voicemails next before wrapping the show up with the Chargers' biggest needs after the NFL draft coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, of course, it's not a Monday or a Friday, so this is kind of a strange day to get into fan voicemails, but this is something that we love to do, and we love getting your guys' interaction. So part of the reason we're doing this is because you guys had just so many voicemails. I think we have something around the range of 25 voicemails, but a lot of those were pre-draft voicemails, so I kind of have to sift through them and figure out the ones that are still relevant, but I promise to get into the ones that would still make sense to get into at this point. But we did have some people calling immediately after the first round where the Chargers made two big picks and after the completion of the draft, so we want to get into those today because they are the most relevant ones. If you guys want to be the next fan that gets on the voicemail segment, the number is 323-524-7924, but today we are going to be starting with one of our regular callers. This is Curtis Lowkey, who is calling in after the crazy first round of the draft.
Hey guys, Curtis Lowkey. I imagine you guys got a lot of calls, you know, obviously because we ended up trading back into the first, and then we traded with the Patriots, which is just kind of scary. Just a thought, they're probably going to take two future Hall of Famers with a second and third pick. But anyway, I just wanted to you know, obviously you guys know how I feel about Herbert. I still stand by it. I think he's a more inaccurate Josh Allen. But anyway, but you know, I'm going to stand behind him and just hope for the best and be super optimistic. Obviously, I don't wish any bad blood to the new quarterback. But welcome, Justin Herbert. And then Kenneth Murray. So, you know, I really can't wait to see what you guys say about him. I mean, obviously, it's a good fit. He's a good leader. He's super solid. You know, just kind of just a plug-and-play captain, you know. But it's just kind of one of those things where it's like you trade back up. I don't know. I don't remember, I should say, how high you guys were on the other offensive tackle. Not Austin Jackson, but Josh Jones, I think his name was. And that's what I thought we were going to do. I don't know. I just wonder how you guys feel about it. You know, I was really hoping that we had a second round or a second and third round pick, because I just kind of figured this draft is pretty deep. I mean, we could potentially trade around. I don't know. It's kind of weird. And do you think we'll sign Jason Peters or something along that line? But anyway, look forward to hearing you guys tomorrow, man. It's going to be entertaining. Later.
So I understand you sticking behind your point of a less accurate Josh Allen. I don't know how many less accurate guys there are than Josh Allen, just as far as historically and what he was when he was at Wyoming, but I definitely get the concerns. I mean, this is definitely not a huge Justin Herbert podcast, and with Kenneth Murray, I think he is a super solid plug-and-play captain. As you said, he brings speed, he brings physicality, all of those things. But I understand why you thought we might have been trying to trade up for Josh Jones. I was thinking the same thing. But that does bring up what's next, David. So I think a lot of people are wondering at this point, what is the next option? Is it Jason Peters? Will they go out and sign a veteran tackle? So how do you think that's going to play out?
I mean, honestly, Daniel, I think it just makes too much sense for them to go out and sign Jason Peters. When you look at Trey Pipkins, obviously there's a lot of raw tools there, but he's just very unproven at the NFL level. So I think, you know, when you look at Jason Peters, he's 38, but he's still extremely productive. And according to Mike Garafolo, Peters has talked to teams in recent weeks and pitched the idea of being a starter now while mentoring a young guy like he did for the Eagles. I mean, it doesn't get much more perfect than that situation. That's exactly what the Chargers need. That's exactly what Trey Pipkins need. And then you look at, you know, the teams that have the most cap space left, and you look at teams that need left tackles. Well, the Titans, the Eagles, the Colts, and the Broncos already all have their left tackles. The Browns drafted Jedrick Wills in the first round, and the Redskins took Sadiq Charles in the fourth round. So it seems like the list of available teams that actually need a left tackle are really, really small, and the Chargers happen to be one that both have enough cap space and have a giant need at that position. So I think signing Jason Peters just makes way too much sense not to do it, Daniel.
I think so, too, and I think what you might see because of this draft with the amount of tackles that were drafted, you could see some releases from other teams and have some other veterans out there. But as far as talking about a tailor-made situation for what Jason Peters is saying that he wants to do at this point in his career, I think it doesn't get much better than that, especially if you believe in Trey Pipkins, that's one thing. But to think that Trey Pipkins is ready for it right now is something entirely different, and I don't think any of us are willing to jump on that train. But let's get into the next voicemail, another loyal caller. This time it's T Nautical. Let's see what he asked for us this week.
T Nautical here. So, the NFL draft is come and gone, and oh boy, what a night that was. Alright, let's get the brass tacks down. We got about 3 minutes. So, Justin Herbert, quite frankly, considering we didn't want Mekhi Becton, considering we didn't want Tristan Wirfs, considering we don't want any linemen, considering we needed our franchise quarterback, and if you take a look at in the future and understand that we really didn't have much franchise quarterback options in the future for us, Justin Herbert was probably the right pick to take at this point. What I want to get into is trading our second round pick and our third round pick for Kenneth Murray. Goodness gracious me. So I actually agree with trading our second and third round pick for a linebacker, but doing so for Kenneth Murray instead of Patrick Queen? Well, goodness gracious me. I personally would have taken Patrick Queen. So going into the future, we will need to determine who is better between Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray. If Kenneth Murray is better, Tom Telesco made the right pick. If Patrick Queen is better, then, well, maybe we really, really need to consider finding a different GM other than Tom Telesco, considering he's been our GM for the entire 2010s. He just screwed us over on this very crucial pick in the most important draft that our franchise has faced. So, can't wait to hear your thoughts. Go Bolts!
So, I mean, I think I'm kind of on the same page with you as far as Justin Herbert. It's like, you understand why they did it. It's so uncertain what they could have gotten in the future as far as free agents or even in the draft. If you're still preparing to be at the very top of the draft like the Chargers were. But I think what you say about Kenneth Murray and Patrick Queen is a very interesting conversation to have, because Patrick Queen, I liked Patrick Queen a lot. I think there's a very good argument to make that he should have went before Kenneth Murray, but I think you saw with the Saints ending up going interior offensive line, there's a lot of people that thought Murray was going to go to the Saints, and they decided to pass on Patrick Queen as the obvious next best option. And I think he got a good landing spot with the Ravens, but he is right in the fact that these guys' two careers are going to be intertwined forever now, at least with Charger fans. We're going to have to watch how these two guys' careers play out and be able to know if Tom Telesco made the right pick. But unfortunately, by that time, I mean, Tom Telesco, I mean, that's years from now that we'll be able to make those judgments. So it doesn't really seem like that would be the time to get rid of him. You probably should know before that, David. But these guys, I mean, will always be looked at and be compared to each other.
Yeah, I mean, they're the undisputed top two linebackers in the draft. So, and the Chargers had the opportunity to get both of them, and they went with Kenneth Murray. And I don't know a lot about Patrick Queen, but I know that the Chargers highly value high character guys and just natural born leaders. And that's what they described when that's how they described Kenneth Murray. So I know that Anthony Lynn loves his guys, and he kind of has a tendency to create favorites. I think this was another guy that instantly became a favorite of his. So I think the mix of his run and hit ability and his natural leadership, that's the reason why they went with Kenneth Murray. And yeah, we're going to have to see if they made the right pick. But the guy has all the tools to be extremely successful in the NFL. And I think this really, if he does play well, this really solidifies that Chargers defense. They will now have playmakers at every level. The D-line, the linebacker group, and the secondary. That would be awesome.
Yeah, and I like Kenneth Murray as a player. And I think it's going to come down to patience with him, and also just can he really adapt to being more of a coverage player, because he didn't have to do it very much. But we have more Kenneth Murray because we have another voicemail calling on. This time it is Donnie from Wisconsin. Let's get Donnie's thoughts on the drafts right here.
What's up, guys? This is Donnie from Wisconsin. I just wanted to call to give my 2 cents about the draft. I know I was the one that kept calling to say we don't need a quarterback. I want a quarterback. But I'd rather have Herbert than Tua. So I like that. I love trading up to get Murray. You get a thumper, plus a guy that can cover, plus a fast guy, play linebacker. Didn't really care about the second or third round. I just want to say the steal of the draft had to be KJ Hill. I think he's going to be like a next Donald Driver type guy. Sticky hands, he's a good teammate, athletic, slot guy, can play from outside, but mostly slot. So that's my take. Let me know what you guys think. Later.
I understand, you know, wanting Herbert more than Tua. I definitely wanted Tua more than Herbert. I thought if you're going to trade a pick, trade up and get the quarterback of your future, not necessarily a linebacker, but I agree. He's a thumper. He's fast. And I do care about losing the picks. I think the Chargers could have gotten someone to help them, but I understand, you know, wanting to move up to secure your guy. And with Kenneth Murray, I think it's one of those things where, like David said, a guy that Anthony Lynn likes a lot. It was a guy that the coaching staff seemed to like a lot and thought would fit there. And I think that that's why you see such a big jump from them. It seemed like they were all on the same page. But you always wonder, are the Chargers just wanting that type of guy more than they're trying to just necessarily get the best player just because somebody has such a big impact on them when they have these meetings and stuff? So that's something you have to always think about. But I think we can all agree, David, that the steal, the best value of the Chargers draft came when they took KJ Hill in the 7th round, because you could legitimately see him having a career in the NFL, which is not something you can say about a lot of 7th round picks.
Well, not only that, but I mean, you look at draft pundits and draft coverage on KJ Hill, and you see this guy getting mocked in the 4th round. So to see that he slipped all the way to the 7th round, even Tom Telesco said, hey, I wasn't exactly even looking to take a wide receiver in the 7th round, but I couldn't pass up on the value. And that's 100% right. I mean, this guy is the all-time receptions leader at Ohio State, so you know he's productive. And he also mentioned about Joe Reed that he needs to refine his skills as a wide receiver. So it kind of makes me believe that KJ Hill is really going to come in and compete for that third wide receiver spot kind of right away, maybe ahead of Joe Reed. I think they definitely want to incorporate Joe Reed into the offense, but I think KJ Hill has that opportunity to really solidify himself as that wide receiver 3 in this offense, a position that has been sorely lacking talent in the past few years.
Yeah, and he's not the guy that, you know, we were banging for as far as trying to get a deep threat, trying to get a speed guy. He is not those things, but he ran a faster 40 time than Keenan Allen, and he does one thing that I just keep saying. He just gets open, and he catches the ball when he is open. Had some circus catches, had some really good possession catches to make first downs and contested catch situations. Is really good at finding soft areas in the zone, and I think he is a really good pick, and the Chargers didn't get a lot of value on some of the picks that they had, and that can definitely be questioned, but I don't think anyone can question the value of KJ Hill in the 7th round. But we have one more voicemail to get into. This is Superfan Zach from Florida. Let's hear what he has for us post-draft.
Hey guys, it's your boy Zach from Florida here. So we did not draft address a cornerback in this draft.
But I have been talking to people on the Chargers fan group on Facebook, and some have mentioned that maybe there's a possibility of Nasir Adderley playing that outside cornerback spot. So I just want to know, do you think that would be a good idea if they implemented it? Just wanted to get your thoughts and bolt out.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, Zach, because we are going to be getting into all of the positions the Chargers failed to address in the draft coming up after this. But Nasir Adderley to corner is a thing that has been a really hot topic so far. I mean, on social media and in Chargers fan groups like you're talking about. And the one thing I talked about with you, David, I think it was yesterday, was just the fact that everyone keeps saying this, but the only time we've actually seen Anthony Lynn address it was him being surprised that that could even be a thing and that he had even played corner while he was at Delaware and not only safety. So that's part of the reason that I'm, you know, kind of reserved about thinking that they will actually do it. But the thought of them trying it is something that I'm 100% down for. I mean, if you're saying you could give some competition to Michael Davis on the outside, if you're saying that, you know, you want to try it out to find a way to get him on the field, it is something I'm absolutely 100% okay with.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Nasir Adderley, is there a logjam at the position that he plays? Yes, there is. And is there an opportunity at outside corner? Absolutely. Does Nasir Adderley have the skills to be an outside corner? I believe he definitely does. I mean, remember, this is a guy as a free safety in college that had 11 interceptions and 24 passes defensed. I think Nasir Adderley has clear football instincts and skills on the football field, has great closing speed. I just want to see him on the field in any capacity. I don't care what that role is. I think if he is on the field, he's going to make impact plays. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I truly believe it. They need to get their best athletes on the football field, and that for me is Nasir Adderley.
Yeah, and I think it's hard, it's hard to really think about the fact that, hey, can he go from playing Division II safety to coming in and playing, you know, first string cornerback reps for the Chargers, especially on the outside. And I think that it's just something that you would want to experiment with, just especially given what the Chargers do defensively, given the fact that he would be protected by the heavy zone coverage that Gus Bradley uses, given the fact that the way they play defense should give him the chance to be able to stop and break on balls in front of him and use his instincts and use his ball hawking abilities. If Anthony Lynn really wants to stick by his words and talk about how he wants real competition at every position, I think he could give Michael Davis real competition. And that is saying a lot, considering we just haven't seen it at this level or even seen him really get on the field at this level. But we do have one more segment to get into, covering all of the different positions the Chargers failed to address in the draft and what happens now and why they didn't do it, coming up right after this. All right, so obviously there were some big-time needs that the Chargers did not address in the draft, and I think when you're getting into a conversation like this, you're talking about kind of semantics. I mean, what were their needs, quote-unquote? And for us, we thought that two of the biggest needs were offensive tackle and cornerback, and those were two positions the Chargers did not draft. Obviously, they had one less draft pick than they thought they would. Maybe they would have gotten a corner in the third or something like that if things had failed differently, but here they are having not signed those guys. And a couple other positions that they didn't really address that I thought they would were a defensive end, just because the contract situation of Ingram and Bosa going into 2021, and also the fact that just having some depth there, as well as potentially bring in another tight end, because there are really two legitimate guys on the roster and a bunch of question marks behind that. But let's start with the offensive tackle position, David. And this was a big time draft for offensive tackles, and we scouted a bunch of tackles we really, really liked in the first round, just to see them all fall to different teams and have the Chargers go the entire draft without getting the guy they wanted. So most of the guys that probably would have came in and helped you were going to be taken in either the top of the first round or early in the second round for the most part, and the Chargers ended up trading back up for a linebacker. So it ended up not getting addressed, and I don't know if any of the later picks would have helped them. But at the same time, you just have to hope that it's not just because of this front office's overwhelming faith in Trey Pipkins, because that's something that really none of us are sold on at this point. And it would be hard to think that Tyrod Taylor is getting a fair chance if he is just going to be the guinea pig while, you know, Trey Pipkins tries to learn how to survive in this league.
But Daniel, they signed Storm Norton out of the XFL. Isn't he the savior? I mean, no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, you have to feel really uncomfortable with what they've done at the position and the lack of attention. I just, you know, they trade away their left tackle, and yeah, they get a great right guard in return, a guy that's definitely going to help this offensive line. But left tackles get paid a lot of money in this league for a reason, because of how important they are. I mean, we were thinking, hey, maybe they're solidifying the right side because they're bringing in a left-handed quarterback. Well, that didn't happen. I think they're just finally concentrating on the offensive line because they realize that they've had one of the worst units in the league. But then you remember they still haven't addressed the left tackle position. So to see that they didn't address that position in the draft when they could have got several guys, even in the middle rounds, that could have came in and provided quality competition for the left tackle spot, it really boggles your mind, but also makes you think maybe they believe that James Campen is very high on what Trey Pipkins is able to do and thinks that he is going to be able to turn Trey Pipkins into a quality left tackle in this league.
Well, we know from everything that we hear how high they are on Trey Pipkins specifically. They think he is going to be a starting left tackle in the league. And what was James Campen's, you know, claim to fame? And it was turning a bunch of mid-round picks for the Packers into Pro Bowl players. So hopefully they're not just riding that too much, but you wouldn't know that by the way that they drafted. So now time to get into cornerback, because that's another position, you know, we just talked about, you know, Denzel Adderley going over there. We talked about some undrafted free agents at the beginning of the show that could potentially make the team, but probably wouldn't, you know, compete for a starting position, not that we think of, at least at this point. And this is another one, David, where we just don't have a lot of clarity on the situation. It's hard to tell how they're planning on deploying Desmond King and Chris Harris. Will Chris Harris get more time at the outside? Do they just think that Michael Davis is the answer on the outside and they don't really need anything behind him? Even though, you know, we saw two games of Brandon Faison last year when Davis got suspended, and that was pretty rough to watch. He was definitely the weak spot of the defense and got targeted as such last year when he got on the field. So this was one of the ones that surprised me the most. I mean, there are some surprising corners that can help later on in the draft. It was a pretty, I mean, top-heavy draft. You probably would have had to get one in the top three rounds, maybe the fourth round, but it was still surprising to see the Chargers, you know, having that much faith in Michael Davis that they just don't think that they have to draft someone or bring somebody in free agency.
Yeah, well, I think this is a situation of prioritizing needs. I think they traded up for a linebacker because they truly believed that that was the biggest need that they needed to address, and they had a guy in mind and they wanted to make sure to secure his services. And that also makes you think that they actually truly believe in Michael Davis. And also, they're not going to use a player and market a player to help show everybody their new uniforms or put him in ads. Like, they're not going to invest that face time on players they don't believe in. So I think that they definitely feel comfortable with him at the other cornerback spot, although none of us feel comfortable with it.
Well, they didn't feel comfortable enough with it to extend him as a restricted free agent like they did with Austin Ekeler. So, I mean, there's definitely some lack of faith there, and I think, you know, things might have fallen differently. And I think things might have gone differently if the draft had played out different with the trades and whatnot, but I just think at this point, even knowing what you have in Casey Hayward, knowing how good he is, he's getting up there as well. So thinking about the future of this cornerback position, it would have been nice if they could have gotten somebody in the draft, even if it was a mid-round pick, that you could hope to develop and turn into something down the road with one of the best defensive back coaches in the entire NFL with Ron Miles. So you would have loved to see what he could have done with a second or third round pick, but the Chargers will have to keep waiting and hope that Michael Davis, you know, turns another corner and finally puts all of those athletic traits that he has together and, you know, learns how to tackle as well. So one of the other positions I mentioned was tight end. And I'll just say that, I mean, there are a lot of tight ends on the roster, but there's not a lot of faith in those guys. So they have Hunter Henry, Virgil Green, Donald Parham, Steven Anderson, and Andrew Vollard. So Andrew Vollard was a guy I think we saw one big catch from in preseason and got injured for the entire season. Donald Parham is an XFL guy, and that's incredibly hard to try to think about how that player is going to transition to the league. They also have Steven Anderson, who has very limited NFL experience, has bounced around a ton. And then Hunter Henry is on his franchise tag, and Virgil Green is going into the last year of his contract. So that was a position that there wasn't a ton of talent in this draft at tight end. I still thought they might add somebody later on, but it didn't materialize. So hopefully, if Hunter Henry gets an extension done, you feel a lot better about that before the extension deadline comes up in July. So then at least you would know, hey, that's the future. This is the guy that we plan on going forward with. So right now, there's not a lot of certainty after the 2020 season at the position. But the last one I really thought they would address, David, is looking towards the future at the defensive end position, at the edge rusher position, just because we know that Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are both unrestricted free agents after this season. I do think that they'll bring back at least one of them. But the guys behind them, Isaac Rochelle, a former 7th-round pick, and Uchenna Nwosu, a former 2nd-round pick, haven't shown a lot when they've been given the opportunity. I mean, Nwosu has had flashes. Isaac Rochelle had some time when Joey Bosa was injured, but didn't really capitalize it to make you feel good about what he is going to continue to give you going forward. So that was definitely a position I thought in this draft, David, they would kind of start looking towards the future for a guy who's going to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we all know the Chargers are more than likely going to re-sign Joey Bosa, but Melvin Ingram's on the wrong side of 30, and he's going into a contract year, and he's making a lot of money. So I don't think that they're going to have space to be able to re-sign both of them. And the Chargers have definitely benefited from having some really good pass rushers, and you know they're going to have to try to replace that production somehow. I think they truly believe that Uchenna Nwosu would be able to bring some value as a pass rusher. But like you mentioned, they just don't put him on the football field enough. So you don't really know what he can do over an extended period of time. I do think that they missed an opportunity to add to that position, you know, if for nothing else, but to have a quality backup, which right now I don't think is on the roster.
Yeah, and I think for all of these positions, especially the future for these positions, it's hard to feel good about it when you go into a draft and don't come out with any promise of someone, you know, that even if they're not going to make an impact right away, could be a future starter at one of those positions. And I think right now there's not only a lack of depth at those positions, but also a lack of starting talent when you're looking at cornerback and offensive line at the tackle position, specifically left tackle and outside cornerback. Obviously, I said they didn't bring in a free agent at cornerback. I just meant they didn't bring in an outside cornerback free agent. They brought in Chris Harris, who works mostly out of the slot, but we'll see how it all plays out. But I think those are four positions that you look at the future, and there's just a lot of question marks that could have been solved in this draft, and you're not going to be able to fill every need every single season, but you just would have wished that maybe some of these positions they prioritized a little bit more, especially given their past of having a lot of faith in guys that end up being exactly who we thought they were. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Coming up on the next shows, guys, we're going to be having draft grades. We're going to be looking back at the draft, knowing who was picked, and go through and give some other picks that we would have done instead for the Chargers, and much more coming up later on in the week. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Music and following us on Spotify and rating and reviewing. We'd really appreciate it. The voicemail number is 323-524-7924. But we'll have more draft reactions for you guys back again tomorrow. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.